Welcome to the Ted Brewer Show. I'm excited to be with you guys tonight. Yesterday, Austin, you with me?
Yes, sir. I'm here.
Yesterday, I went out and it was kind of interesting. We had we went to Laha's Bakery, spent the afternoon there with the kids, and we played frisbee and cornhole and a bunch of other things. They have a huge field. They have like 25 acres out there, and it was interesting. I was running and throwing the frisbee, and I began to realize very quickly, Austin, that I'm not 18 or 19 anymore, and my vertical jump, which was not such a good vertical jump even back in the 70s, is probably about a half an inch now. And so it was an interesting experience, and so today I'm feeling muscles and tendons that I haven't felt in a long, long time. So it's kind of good, though. It's good to know that you're alive and the brand new part of this 2016, and life is good, and things are going well, so it's a lot of fun, though. But I tell you what, though, I still throw a frisbee, and I was doing better than all the kids out there that were teenagers, which I thought was kind of interesting. So that was neat. But of course, the frisbee really isn't something that kids have done in a long time. It's more of us old timers, I guess. They go out and buy frisbees. The kids are all about playing their video games. We're out there about running around on the beach throwing frisbees. But I did have to take my shoes off, Austin. I must admit, it's hard to run around a set of clodhoppers. I was wearing a pair of Birkenstocks, and so you can't really run in those. And I had to dump some weight and take my jacket off. And so, yeah, it was good. But it was fun. We had a great time, and I had a blast. So it was good to know at the age of 60, I can still run around and jump and play. But tonight, we're going to talk about some news stories and talk about some of the cutting-edge stuff that's going on. But I'm also going to talk about some of the trends and some of the forecasts that I have for 2016. I borrowed some of this from Gerald Celente. He's not a friend of mine, but I really like the guy. I interviewed him one time when I was doing the Power Hour. He's a really, really nice man. He's a total gentleman, super nice guy, really, really nice. He has some interesting statistics I wanted to write down and pull up, so I want to give him credit where credit was due on this show tonight. But I've also added a bunch of other stuff on my own. But I like Gerald. He's a good man. So go to Trends of Journal and get, you can order his material, and he's got a great forecast. He's sent them to me before, and they're really, really nice. But Austin, what I want to talk about tonight is this. I want to talk about the $220 trillion. I've got three predictions for you, and we're going to cover them all tonight. But I want to start right here with this one. I want to go ahead and talk about the $220 trillion global debt crisis. This is what they're actually admitting to, $220 trillion. It's actually much higher than that, according to some statisticians, when you include the problems associated with all of the derivative debt. They're saying it's in the quadrillions, close to 2 quadrillion, which is 2,000 trillions, which is 10 times bigger than this amount. And they haven't stopped printing the money or digital currency and all the things since then. But here's the biggest deal that we have going on right now. This $220 trillion global debt crisis is being caused by the Federal Reserve fiat currency that was started back in 1913, interest on the debt that we had to pay to foreign countries and other people who bought our debt or bonds, which we shouldn't even have to have since we should be able to print our own currency according to the Constitution, interest to the Fed for the debt that they, for the currency that they've printed and for the digital currency, the quantitative easing for the past since 2008, and that's basically just going on and on and on, still happening in Europe, that we've literally put trillions of dollars of additional M1 currency into the money supply, plus the trillions of dollars that the Fed won't tell us what they've done with. And we're going to talk about all of that stuff tonight. So for the first trend, I'm expecting a major, major continued global recession for 2016, Austin, and here's why. Back in 2011, iron ore was around $200 a ton. Now it's at 40. Dairy was higher, wheat was higher, corn was higher, copper was higher, oil, was over $100 a barrel. And now it's in the 30s. We literally have just huge tankers, Austin, that are sitting outside of the port of Galveston in Texas, waiting in line, and nobody really wants the crude offloaded because they can't put it anywhere because there's so much crude there already that's not being used. There's simply too much product and not enough demand on the primary commodities. Saudi Arabia, It needs oil, apparently, according to Gerald Celente, at about $100 a barrel just to break even. Now they're actually floating bonds because they need cash. Now, you remember, Austin, back at the, years ago, we went to Germany for some vacation thing we did. And do you remember we were staying at the Westin? And it was kind of interesting because we were able to stay there for free because we had points for the Westin. And do you remember the Saudis had all of those Rolls Royces parked out in Ferraris and Lamborghinis? What were some of the other cars they had? Bugattis? What? All kinds of stuff parked out there.
Oh, yeah. They were out there. I mean, it was pretty much any exotic high-end car you could think of. A couple hundred grand. I don't remember if there was any Bugattis. I know there were a couple of the new Lambos, Rolls Royce Phantoms. And even on top of that, they had the people out there going up and down the whole strip of cars, basically washing them and waxing them all day. So as soon as they wanted to come outside, their vehicle would be pulled around for valet parking, and it would literally be spotless, pristine, so they could go drive around, tear up the town, and then pull their car back in and run back in the hotel before the cops got there. That's what they do. I mean, you've seen the videos on YouTube. I mean, they fly down the street like 200 miles an hour, then whip the car back home.
Well, I did see one of them. I forgot what city it was in, but it was in Paris, but I don't remember. And they were flying, Porsche was racing a Ferrari. And I mean, they were hitting the corner so hard. They were bottoming out the car, sparks were flying. And it was a prince. I'm not sure what country he was from. And then finally they went to arrest him, but he'd already jumped on his G650. Yeah, screamed diplomatic immunity and left. And he was literally going through neighborhoods, I mean, burning over 100, 150 miles an hour. It was one of the nuttiest things I've ever seen. And of course we never heard anything else about it because, you know, Saudis are our allies. And we've talked about that before. But it's interesting to me that Saudis are actually floating bonds now trying to get cash because they're out of cash. Which is crazy to me. They actually need that much cash to survive that lifestyle. I guess it's because of the commodity. But the commodities are basically a current that are the canary in the coal mine, and that's really, really important that we understand that. I mean, when you have the mines, if you have methane released in these mines where they're digging in the coal, a lot of times in the old days before they had methane detectors, they'd put a canary or a bird who had very sensitive respiratory tracts, and if they got around the methane gas, they would die almost immediately. Well, human beings have a little bit more tolerance, but not much. So if they see the canary in the coal dying, they would run out of the mine real quick because there was a gas leak, some type of methane expulsion or some other type of toxic chemical or something was happening. But they actually used to have canaries in the coal mines. That's where that term came from. And what's interesting about this is the commodity prices are that canary in the coal mine because of what's happening in the emerging markets and what's happening with all the production of all of the different all these different commodities. So what you have to ask yourself, the next question is, where did all the quantitative easing go that was present? Where did these trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars go? Well, a lot of the investment was made, because remember Bernanke, I couldn't remember if it was 13 trillion or 19 trillion. I guess I can't remember. He couldn't remember, so it doesn't really matter. He didn't remember where he put it, so I don't have to worry about it. I don't even know what those numbers mean. He said that basically asked him where the 13 or 19 trillion went, and he basically said he didn't know. They went somewhere. They went to different banks, but he couldn't give any kind of figure as to where they had actually gone. Remember, this is something that everybody needs to remember. This is so important. We are not allowed to read the Fed's minutes when they meet for 5 years. Now, what that tells me is that, you know, they're basically operating in secret, and that shouldn't be allowed. And that's why Rand Paul, again, is trying to go in and do a full-blown audit on the Fed. But, I mean, think about that for a second also. I mean, what do you think? What they did in 2008, you can actually read their minutes on that now. In 2013, it was made public. And when that giant crash hit in 2008, these boys had no idea what to do. They were running panicky. They really thought the whole thing, their whole Ponzi scheme was going to come to a halt. But what do you think about, Austin, about them not allowing us to look at their stuff for 5 years?
Well, I mean, it makes sense from the way that they respond and they handle everything else. But, I mean, the insanity, when you really think about it at that level, is pretty ridiculous. That they're a privately owned reserve bank that's not federal. There's nothing federal about them. That name's completely and totally useless in the actual meaning. And the fact that they sell us our money basically at interest, loan it to us at interest that we have to pay back when we're supposed to be printing our own currency, and then on top of that, we can't even find out what they were discussing now until basically 2020. We can find out what they're talking about currently. That's just insanity to me. I mean, quite frankly, there's not much more than that you can even say.
And that was also interesting. These are the minutes they're making public.
Right.
You have no idea what they said in private. You have no idea what they were doing in private. There's no idea what they did. When they conspire together with the Bilderbergers or whoever they're conspiring with, then basically you don't know what they're even talking about. They're just basically doing whatever they're doing off the books, and nobody ever reads those minutes, ever. It never happens. The only thing we get to read from 2008 is what they want us to read.
Right. It's just what was on the record, basically.
That's right. Now, remember, the emerging markets took a lot of this money, Venezuela, Chile, Brazil, Colombia, Guyana. Now look at the emergency market, their currencies. They're basically the lowest on average since 2002. Their currencies are pretty much imploding. All of the trillions that went into the emerging markets have to be paid back. So what's happened now, they've gotten trillions of dollars that have gone into their markets, and now that money is due with interest. but the money they got that was in dollars has to be paid back in dollars, not in their fiat currency from their country. And now that their currencies have dropped in value by sometimes up to 30, 40, 50%, I mean, the euro is like $1.70, $1.75 per dollar, something like that, back 5 or 6 years ago, and now it's like $1.06, $1.10. I mean, it's dropped like 40, 50%. And I know a friend of mine, he used to import a lot of the Mercedes GL350 diesels back into Europe, in Iceland particularly, and some of the in the Norway, primarily Norway. And what happened is the dollar has gotten so strong against the international currencies, the home export market of our cars that are used going back into those countries is dead because they cost too much now. And this is exactly what's happening in these emerging markets. These emerging markets can't pay back the money that they borrowed from us because the commodity prices are down, and these people were these countries were given the money for commodities. Now the commodities can't be paid, the value's not there anymore. Does that make any sense? They can't make any money on their commodities. Some of these commodities are being sold for what it costs to get them out of the ground. So they can't pay these trillions and trillions of dollars back. The dollar's gotten so strong that the emerging markets have to pay the money back, but the commodity prices are down, so they cannot pay the money back, to reiterate that. I remember Yellen a few weeks ago when she raised the interest rates. When she raised the interest rate, it further strengthened the dollar, which further made the dollar go higher against all of these countries' currencies. I mean, Mexico right now, the peso is collapsed. Look at the Canadian dollar, it's down like 25% against the dollar. And all of these things are happening, strengthening our dollar, but it destroys our exports, because now our products are so expensive, it's difficult to export them into another country. So it further hampers the U.S. economy. So what's happening now, if you look at what's going on in Brazil, they're saying that they're experiencing a 1930s depression because their currencies are crashing. Well, the problem now is that they're starting to get inflation. Well, if they start getting inflation down in Brazil because all the prices are starting to go up, that raises interest rates when the economy's already starting to crash. So it's going to cause our economies to further crash. That was the interesting thing that so many people were concerned about when Yellen raised the interest rates to 25 basis points. They really thought that it was going to do something really big to the market. Well, the problem with the market now, the commodities market, not the commodities market, but the equities market, the stock market, is they've taken trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars of that quantitative easing and money that was off the books, they said, to the banks. They've allowed those banks to print that currency and to buy up the equities market to hold up the stock market. In addition to that, they've run naked shorts on the gold and silver markets, which have kept the price of gold and silver at pretty much production cost levels. And so what's also interesting, this is some of the statistics I got from Salente today. He said that right now that the dollar and the gold prices right now, I mean, let me make sure I get these numbers right. This is really important. He said that the gold prices are the gold and silver demand for the third quarter in the USA over the third quarter of last year was up 207% in the United States. 207% for physical delivery. 207%. In wow. China, it's up 70% across the board. Gold costs about $1,050 to mine. Gold is being massively manipulated, and we know this because we can see the markets. Remember, LIBOR was rigged, the Forex was rigged, and these guys ended up getting felony convictions because of that. They're rigging all the markets. The gold in Europe is up 35%, son. And so what's happening is people are beginning to realize that this fiat dollars, this fake money they've put out, it's only worth what the paper is it's written on, and they're starting to go into the tangible assets like the gold and the silver, just like they did in World War II and World War I, especially with the reserve, with what happened with the Weimar Republic in Germany. All the smart money left of the German mark and went into the gold and the silver markets and the commodities markets to buy things, so they would have physical, tangible things to have to would maintain the wealth, primarily the gold and silver. What do you think about that, Oz?
Oh, by all means. I mean, you can go back to the biblical times. Gold and silver have always been used as not only wealth preservation, but also currency. That's why I've told people for years that, you know, if anything, you know, if gold's out of your reach as far as cost, you need to start buying some silver. You don't have to buy a ton of it, but you need to start buying small amounts and stacking it away and using it, you know, as a backup resort, you know, for currency. I mean, I've talked about it a couple times, but I remember about 2.5-3 years ago, when the silver market was basically dropping back down rapidly after it hit that, you know, $50 an ounce mark, and you know, everybody didn't know what to do, and basically the silver miner owned basically a huge silver mining company out in the Midwest. He went on record, did this whole article basically stating that their pretty much raw cost on mining silver is around $14 to $15 an ounce. That's actual cost of it. And he said there's no way it's ever going to go much below that. So everybody can, you know, stop being scared. That's pretty much going to be the base point. And now we look, 3 years later, we're still there. You know, 1391, 1450, 15. And with the premiums on it, it puts you back to almost $20 an ounce when you're looking at Silver Eagles. So, I mean, right now, if you're going to buy silver or gold, I'm telling you, if you're waiting for the bottom to hit, the bottom's there. It may not go up for a while, but it's not going to be able to go much lower because the markets that actually mine this stuff, they can't support any lower price and actually sell it.
Yeah, if you're going to buy this stuff, go to stevequayle.com. Go to his website. Steve's a great guy. He's on with Hagman all the time. And I'm not getting paid to promote Steve Quayle. I'm not getting, we don't do advertising on the show. You guys know that. Oh, by the way, our website, before I forget that, is healthmasters.com. Half the time, Austin, I forget to give our website out. Healthmasters.com is our website. Free newsletter on health and nutrition stuff. I'm not really talking a lot about that tonight. We will in a little bit, but not tonight. We'll do it tomorrow on tomorrow's show because I really want to talk about the trends, the global trends that are going on right now. But if what happens if this $220 trillion bubble pops, or if you want to look at the 2,000 trillion bubble market pops, if that's really the numbers for the quadrillions, you know, it's going to make 2008 look like a fairy tale about how great it was. And there's going to be a massive, massive deflationary depression spiral right now. Europe just trying to keep themselves from going into massive, massive recession, still pumping $60 billion a month all the way up to 2017 in quantitative easing. Now, they have actually negative yields in Europe. So if you want to go buy a Swiss bond now, apparently you give them $100,000, and in 10 years they give you $95,000 back.
Gosh.
You know, and so, I mean, so if you got that kind of money to throw away, whatever, but I just assume, like Austin says, you know, we're not telling you that gold is a great investment as far as what you should do with your money. Just look at the numbers and make a decision for yourself. I'm not telling you to buy anything or do anything, but what I am saying that, you know, a lot of the smart money is going into commodities now and solid metals like gold and silver right now because they're pretty much at an all-time low. But do what you feel you need to do. I mean, quite frankly, you can't eat gold and silver. I mean, if you don't have at least a 90-day supply of storable food, you can go to healthmasters.com and get that too. That doesn't have a bunch of GMOs, a bunch of chemicals, and a bunch of MSG and soy and pork. You can get that at healthmasters.com. But, you know, before I start pouring a bunch of money into gold and silver, Austin, I would put it into some kind of self-defense. I would put it into food. I would put it into water. That's what I would do because you can't eat gold or silver. This is like a fail-safe to maintain wealth. If you can't, but you can't eat it, and when people be trading large amounts of gold for food, if there's a choice, so I think you need to be prepared. I know that there's a book that I read years ago by I think it was by Dale Carnegie. It was called How to Start Living and Stop Worrying. Great book. I like Dale Carnegie, and what it said in there is just basically just accept the worst thing that could happen, and usually that never happens, and go on down the road with it. And just prepare for that. And then if it doesn't happen, he says, by 95% of the time it never happens anyhow. So you just idle worry. So you might as well not worry about it. So the truth is, that's what I always tell folks. You know, store up some water, store up some food, get some physical metal. Try to have a bug out location so you can go to some place that's not going to be in the middle of a giant city. I wouldn't recommend being in Manhattan if something goes really bad up there because there's only a few bridges and a tunnel to get out of that place. And it's going to be a giant bottleneck. And it's just one of those awful places that I don't even like going, to be honest with you. I mean, they got some good theaters up there and stuff, but, you know, overall, Manhattan and I just don't. We talked about that last week about them bringing snipers in for the New Year's Day celebration. But anyhow, but you know, the panic decisions in Europe are being made right now because the central banks that have caused all of this, by the way, all of it, have basically done everything they possibly can to keep their Ponzi scheme alive, Austin. Because, mark my words, all fiat currencies fail. They have since the beginning of time. They always fail. And the real money stays in the solid metals, the gold and the silver. So, you know, if you want to, I'm not going to say you're going to make a lot of money on gold and silver as far as the investment, but what it does is it's a storage of wealth and it's a safeguard of wealth and it helps to maintain the wealth in case you have massive inflation or you have the currency basically just go away, which has happened too. I mean, there's no longer a Deutsche Mark. It went away. I mean, it just went away. You know, now it's the euro over there in Europe. So just make sure that you have something up your sleeve, so to speak, and you're planning to protect you and your family. That's so important. And water, by the way, is also very, very critical. That was my first prediction is we're going to have a continuing recession. Number two, I believe because of what's happening in these emerging countries that we've always mentioned, that we're going to have a massive, massive amount of migration throughout the world because of all the mess that's going on. Remember when we had the World War II, we only had about 2 billion, 2.3 billion people on the planet. We got 7.2 billion people on the planet now. And when they come out, and when all this stuff starts to collapse, we have a lot of people on this planet to feed. And that's why we're seeing this massive immigration into Europe, primarily because of Angela Merkel, probably, to be honest with you, but because of what's going on, they're taking all these countries over because they're leaving. I mean, when you bomb all the natural resources in their country and they can't eat or find clean water to drink, they're going to move. They're going to migrate. And so we're going to see more and more of this from the third world countries into other countries because people are going to be desperate for food and water. What do you think, Oz?
That's exactly what's going to happen. I mean, that's like you said, the silver and gold's wealth preservation. But when it comes down to it, water and food are the two most important aspects of life as far as, you know, physically. You know, Jesus Christ and having him as your Lord and personal Savior is definitely the most important thing. But as far as from a physical standpoint, water and food are the most important aspects. So water filtration and backup food is what's going to be the best option to have. But yes, in the other worlds, in the other, especially in a lot of the third world countries that are already on the brink of, you know, destruction, so to speak.
Starvation.
I mean, when this starts to go really bad, like real, real bad, you're going to see heavy migration. I mean, look, we're already seeing with just Syria. You know, I mean, a couple war-torn countries in the Middle East. I mean, that's not even, I mean, it's a large landmass, but as far as the population that lives there isn't nearly as high as, you know, other places in the country or other places in the world. So, yeah, mass migration I definitely think is going to be something that could become a serious problem in the future, especially if we start having massive collapse with their economies.
Well, no, we're going to have a religious, socioeconomic, geopolitical crisis like the world has never seen. I mean, the religious, because all these different religions are being forced together because of this mass migration. I mean, we're seeing that with all the rapes that are taking place in Europe now, and all the things that are happening over there, and all the shootings that are going on. We are seeing this massive convergence of this religious, and these ideologies that have never really been mixed together like this in these certain areas that are going to start really blowing back. I don't think Angela Merkel, I don't know when her term is up, but I can guarantee you she's not going to run for re-election, or she'll never be re-elected, or the election's going to be fixed. Because remember, Germany's still a vassal state of the United States. Whether you want to believe that or not, it's the truth. Germany was completely bombed into rubble. Germany is still forced to maintain military centers and military bases for the United States there, you know, through NATO and through the United States and through the treaties of World War II. Germany had, it was complete and utter surrender. There wasn't any kind of anything for that. They were completely and totally destroyed. And so that's what happened. And so they're still a vassal state. It's just like Korea, South Korea, we're still in South Korea. And I think we're in over 175 countries. We talked about that a few weeks ago, Oz. And the problem is this empire building costs a lot of money. And all these troops cost a lot of money. And the United States is continuing to print more and more money, run more and more deficits. And now the Fed's buying its own paper, which is crazy. Which, to be honest with you, I really kind of like the Fed buying its own paper. And here's why. If nobody's buying our bonds or our T-bills and the Fed's having to buy its own paper, sooner or later, the United States government, we the people, or the Republic, are going to restore our Constitution, and we're basically going to take the Federal Reserve Bank and tell them to take a hike. And if the money they owe is to themselves, it doesn't make any difference. Nobody else has. You understand what I know you understood what I just said. Because if they're buying their own paper, what difference does it make? But it's kind of like a third world republic when you buy your own paper. So the truth is, the United States didn't have to do any of that. They could have just continued doing what they were doing and having to be the greatest growth, greatest country in the world up until 1913. And it carried for a while past that, too. Until they contracted the M1 money supply in 1929. Now, what I realized too, and I've been talking about this over and over, these guys have to cover their tracks on what they've done. They have to take us to war. This is World War I all over again. This is World War I, the contraction of the money supply in world in 1929, depression, trade wars, currencies, world war. You know, look at Germany, England, and France now. They're all bombing Syria. And we talked the other day about the Westphalia. You know, the Treaty of Westphalia. You can't be taking other countries into internal conflicts like this. I mean, if Syria's in civil war, why in the world are we bombing them in civil war? Why are we involved in all that? We're not supposed to be doing that anymore. I mean, who declared war in Syria? I mean, when did Congress vote on this, Austin? I don't even know. Remember, all of the foreign the founding fathers, Washington, Jefferson, Adams, all of them, Franklin, they all said no foreign entanglements. Because back in the 1700s, remember, there were these massive wars already going on over there. And they were wanting us to get involved in all that. And our founding fathers, they were smart enough, and they said no foreign entanglements at all, period. Again, what we're seeing is a replay of the stupidity of World War One. And what it does, when things get bad enough, if you take the people's mind off of the economy and how bad it is and how bad and how many people are out of work, then what ends up happening is they start thinking about war, they get their patriotism going back, and then they forget about all the other things that are the primary causes. Everybody wants to get everybody's minds off the economic problems. Remember what Einstein said? He said that when they were talking about World War III, he said something, this is a rough quote, he goes, "I don't know which weapons will be used in World War III, but World War IV will be fought with sticks and stones."
Yep.
Okay? Because we have weapons right now of unimaginable carnage that are available to us. We have space-based weapon platforms that can lay waste to entire regions, entire cities, entire continents if they wanted to. I mean, we have power that's unbelievable through the use of Tesla technology. I've talked about that in detail before on the Hagman shows and what a scalar wave is and how they picked up any potential side of the planet and they create this tremendous energy. When they explode, they're like nuclear weapons. We don't even need nuclear bombs anymore. Those things are so antiquated and they're so polluting. They're a joke. This is 80-year-old, 90-year-old technology that was started back in the 20s and the 30s. The stuff that we have now is so far advanced past that, that there is absolutely no reason to cause a nuclear war. There's not. Unless you have a third world country or like, you know, whatever, like North Korea, that ends up getting a real nuclear weapon and say, "Oh, I don't have a space-based weapon, but I got one of these. You know, I'm going to go blow somebody up. I want to be part of this party." That could happen. You could have some of these third world nations start detonating some of these old nukes, some of these suitcase bomb nukes, and that could happen in every major city in the United States. You don't know. But the problem is that we're not going to have the kind of warfare that we think we're going to have again. And quite frankly, if we actually unleash these weapons of mass destruction, that these space-based weapons, we turn them on our own planet, which I don't think we will. I don't think anybody's that crazy. It would probably be the end of civilization as we know it, Austin, unless it's the globalist goal to do that, to reduce the population back to their 500 million, which is their stated objective. What do you think?
It's a possibility. I mean, they're pretty brazen with what they do. And like you said, you know, last week on the show, these guys don't operate on like, you know, a 5-year plan or a 10-year plan. They operate on a 200- and 300-year plan. You know, this has been the overall goal for hundreds of years, ever since, you know, basically the United States was founded and they realized that they didn't have control of the entire country anymore. So their goal is to bring it all under control and bring in a new world order. So, yeah, if they do start launching space-based weapons and all that, I mean, I don't think it would wipe out the entire population of the world, but it would probably wipe out a significant portion of it. I pray that doesn't happen while we're alive.
Well, you know what's interesting about all of this stuff? I try my best to cover this stuff and, you know, and talk about this stuff, but some of this stuff is just absolutely awful. I mean, you know, you just hope it doesn't happen, you know? And the nuttiest part about it is that, you know, a lot of Christians, and I'm not picking on you because I'm a Christian too, you know, they don't really want to hear about anything other than what the Bible says. And I believe the Bible is a very, very important book and it should be our primary thing that we're looking at. But I don't think that we need to pretend like this technology is not available because we don't want it to be. I mean, it's kind of like saying, well, I don't believe that a car has a set of airbags in it because I've never had one deploy on me. Well, yeah, well, if they deploy on you, you'll know really quickly if they work properly, they're real. Okay? So it's kind of like one time I heard this pastor say, and I couldn't, this really blows my mind to this day. This is only about 15 years ago. He actually said from the pulpit, he started talking about how Christians shouldn't use radar detectors in their car, like, you know, like the escorts or the passports or whatever. And then he got all up. Upset about the fact that Christians were using them. He says, "You don't seem to understand something about these radar detectors. These radar detectors operate on a form of witchcraft." That's what he said. And now this is a pastor of a 2,000-member church. And I'm sitting there going, witchcraft, okay, that's interesting. Radar detectors work on witchcraft. I thought they worked on radio waves and radar waves. It's witchcraft. No, it's witchcraft. Witchcraft. And the thing that bothered me more than the fact of him saying that is about a quarter of the church yelled a resounding amen.
Wow, and I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. And I thought to myself, this is just one of these things that seems surreal to me. Because if I'm talking about LIBOR rates, or we're talking about Forex rates, or we're talking about these different things that have happened. These are just things that have happened that are in the news. When we start talking about all of this nuclear technology that we have, or CERN, if you think they're over there playing games with CERN just to go to see what kind of tiddlywinks they can produce with CERN, you're wrong. This is some really crazy stuff. They got these demon statues out in front of this place. This place is bad news. They're trying to open up different portals and different dimensions, according to some of the physicists that are actually involved with some of this stuff, to see if they can bring the fallen angels back. I mean, I personally don't really want the fallen angels back. You know, they're kind of bad. They're really awful. You know, of course, I believe that they're still running around doing bad things now, and I still believe that our protective angels are still there protecting us. That's what I believe. But the whole thing about any of this stuff is that, you know, we have interdimensional beings that are out there. They're called angels, okay? And if you're a Christian, you have to believe in those things. We don't talk about those a lot on our show, but you just need to be aware of the fact that everything that you think the world is may not be exactly the way you think it is. There's some, I mean, why do we have 700,000 child abductions in the United States every year, most of which are never found? And why is the United Nations running a global child trafficking ring? I mean, why are so many members of Congress involved in pedophilia? I mean, let's talk about the reality of the actual statistics and the numbers of what's going on. Why was Barney Frank running a call boy service out of his basement? You know, I mean, we got all these crazy things happening that you're kind of going like, well, this is just kind of nuts, but it just is what it is. I mean, so you have to be awake when you're a Christian, and you can't pretend like this technology, these things aren't available to other people, to bad guys, because they're available. And if we're not aware of them, if we don't discuss them, they may take you by surprise. Let's finish this little thing. We'll do some news stories. But
yeah, what I always like too is why we can't fly over Antarctica.
You know, that's an interesting. You're right. I mean, because we know now NASA's telling us that the Earth is not a solid like a ball, like a basketball. It doesn't look like that. But all the pictures they've ever shown us from anything, it's like that. And how about the pictures from the Apollo moon mission when we saw back the big round ball? I mean, are they telling us that that wasn't accurate? Now they're saying it's more like a donut, you know? I mean, what does that even mean? Are they talking about a tall donut, a short donut, a flat donut, a hollow donut? I have no idea. I mean, I haven't been in outer space. See, it's so many, but that's the thing that I've always learned is just to question what's going on, because a lot of times we're told stuff just to keep us content, keep us happy. You know, when you pray, you say, Lord, bless my four no more. You know, that's it. That's not the way, right? By the way, that's not the right way to pray. And so you don't do that. And so you have to realize that there's an entire world going on around you that's basically in this giant energy field that we're in that we're able to control by the power of prayer. And so we have to control that. We have to, the power release of prayer. Pastor Jay was talking today. It was my pastor. I go to a Baptist church in Lakeland, and it was really cool, Austin. He actually used an analogy about a lady who was on her deathbed, and her family wanted nothing to do with her. They had to abandon her. So this lady agreed to be hooked up to these instruments for scientific research at the moment of death. They wanted to see what happened. And they had a microphone at her mouth. They had they were measuring her brain waves and the power they were putting out. And he said that the meter went from a negative 500, he didn't give the gauge, to a positive 500. I don't know what that means, milliamps. I don't know what it was. He didn't say. And he said that what happened is she was praying and asking everybody's for asking to God to forgive everybody that had ever done her wrong. And she was dying. She was going to be dying within minutes. She was going to be dead. And they were watching her brainwave activity. And then right before she died, she prayed and she was speaking and praying, and the meter pegged over 500. And what had happened is they had used that same meter to test a 50,000 watt clear channel station with broadcast frequency and power with that, and it only pegged like 7 on the meter. She pegged 500.
Wow.
And now the reason that happens, and I'm going to tell you again, and I covered it on the Hagman Show, and I've talked about it a little bit on this show, our brain thoughts, our thoughts are scalar waves. Scalar waves are incredibly powerful. So when we pray and we speak out loud and we think what we're praying, we're releasing scalar waves into the field. And when we release these scalar waves into the field, we change things. It's the dunamis, it's the power of prayer. So we don't realize the power and the authority that we've been given as Christians. So this is what we do on an ongoing basis whenever we pray. That's why the prayer is so important. That's why Jesus said, when one or more of you get together, you can send, you know, 10,000 to flight. And the reason for that is the prayer is what does this. It's just so powerful, the release of these scalar waves and how it affects the physical reality that we're in. So I think it's amazing what God's done for us and how he's put us here. But don't, as Christians though, let's pretend like all of this physics, let's not pretend like we don't know about this, that this physics is not real, because it's very, very real. We know nuclear bombs are real. We know that all of this stuff is real. So we have to realize that, you know, it's there. I mean, you can get cars now that run 200 miles an hour on the Autobahn. You can get cars now that run on electricity. You can get cars now that never have to be, you know, they can run on batteries and electricity. All this technology is available to us. So let's not pretend like it's not there. It's very important that we as Christians stay awake and learn a lot. So the central bank knows, Austin, that there's a big crash coming soon. In 2008, the central banks basically said, like I said earlier in the show, that they were clueless. They had no idea what they were going to do. And here's the thing. If there's a terrorist strike, these central banks, the Rothschild Bank, who runs the United States, will use another bank holiday to mitigate the problems that they have caused. They'll probably devalue the currency. And again, Celente says this, and I believe he's 100% correct about this, because this is what they did in 1933. You know, they seized everybody's gold at $20 an ounce, and they immediately raised the gold up to $35 an ounce, which gave a loss of 70% of the purchasing power of the currency. Immediately, you had a 70% devaluation of the currency. And when you monetize the debt like that, it gives you the ability to drop the numbers, knock a few zeros off here and there, and I believe that's what they're going to do again. I think they've got this Ponzi scheme so nightmarishly high now that they don't know what to do with it, and they're going to have to monetize the debt. They're going to take us to war or cause a massive false flag this year. That's what I believe is going to happen. My third prediction is that we're going to have some type of massive false flag for 2016. We're going to have some type of bank holiday like we had back in the 30s. So this is my three big things. We have the continuing immigration crisis because of all the developing worlds are basically losing the ability to feed themselves. We're going to have the continuing crisis, you know, is what's going on with the markets and the commodity markets and the continuing, you know, deflationary depression that we're going into. And we're going to have some type of major false flag episode that's going to happen in the United States. What do you think about those three major predictions?
Yeah, I think you're pretty much spot on with that. We definitely know that they're getting ready to pull some type of false flag as far as if you notice, they continually do stuff, especially about gun control, and they have to get everybody to a point now as well that everybody has to accept and readily ask for gun control. It's going to be the same thing with everything else, with either a soft martial law, with a one world government, with a global currency. They're not just going to do it against everybody's will, because they know if they went ahead and did that, there'd be massive backlash and there'd be a ton of people basically protesting it on a regular basis. If they can get the majority, at least the majority of the population, to go along with a giant global New World Order plan, it's going to be much, much easier for them to implement a lot of the things that they want to do. So yes, you're right. And order out of chaos is their motto, and that's exactly what they're going for. They know when this stuff starts to collapse, they know exactly what the plan B is afterwards and how to handle it. These guys don't usually get caught. That's what you said earlier. They had no idea what was going on in 2008. I think that was the on-the-record statement that a lot of them were stating. But I think the real true boys that run the Federal Reserve, I think they knew exactly what was going on, and everything was planned from the get-go.
You know, that's a really good point, Austin, that they gave us the records that they thought they wanted, that we wanted to hear, that they weren't the ones doing the big
yep.
giant. You know, that's a really good point. I'm going to reiterate what you just said if I can. Basically, what you're saying, if I'm reading you correctly on this, is that you feel as though the minutes they released from 2008 were basically obfuscation.
Yes, at 100%.
That they knew exactly what was going to go on. They knew exactly what they were going to do about it. And they were making us think like they were just caught off the spot. They were blindsided by this. And that they were kind of like, oh no, what are we going to do? When actually they knew exactly what they were going to do. And they did it. And pretty much the whole thing was planned anyhow.
That's spot on. The same way they're going to act when we have some terrorist attack or some nuclear attack or any of the above, they're going to act like they didn't know what was going on. Do we really think, like with Paris, the level of surveillance with NSA, the global spying, the tapping cell phones, the cameras on every corner in Europe, do we really think that these boys were riding around with fully automatic AK-47s, C4 vest, holding up in all these rooms and different people across Paris that were planning and coordinating this, and they had absolutely no idea that any way any of this was going to happen? That's baloney. The same way if anything happens to the United States, they know exactly what's going to happen, when it's going to happen. Now, whether or not they facilitate it or not, I don't know. But as far as them having, you know, foreknowledge about it happening before it happens, you better believe they're going to know something happens before it does.
You know, it's funny you say that with all the cameras everywhere, especially in London and England. Mm-hmm. I was driving England on the wrong side of the road one time, which is their right side of the road, so don't get concerned. And I'd gotten on the wrong road going to the wrong place in the middle of nowhere, right? And I was like, I'm on this big 4-lane highway. And, you know, there was a turnaround. I had no idea where I was, where the next exit was. I was completely lost. I mean, I'm in the middle of nowhere, Austin, and I turn around.
I turn around
on the highway, right? I go on the little turnaround thing. I go the other direction. And a month later when I'm home, I get a ticket. And there's a picture of my car turning around in this median.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you remember when that happened, I think. I think you were with us.
Illegal U-turn.
It was an illegal U-turn. And I thought to myself, I was in the middle of nowhere. Where was the camera? Are you kidding me? And so to say that they didn't know what was going to happen in Paris and all the surveillance they've got going on, I got a feeling they know pretty much everything that's going to go on because they do their little, how would you say it? They could basically beta test everything. Now, here's an interesting article that's off of Tom Horn's website. I like Tom, so I interview him on the Power Hour. Domain of Angels. This is the article. Mathematical battle for the soul of physics surrounds multiverse, string theory, and wormholes. In December 2015, the researchers of the Large Hadron Collider in Europe reported that two separate experiences have reported possible traces of new particles that one may lie outside of the standard model, although much more data and scrutiny will be required for anything to be defined. And what's interesting about this is they're saying that all of these different dimensions are now being proven by the CERN. And that's a really interesting article if you want to read it, because of course they're saying that they have to do more research, and I'm sure they pretty much know exactly what to say. And I've come under some criticism talking about the 13 different dimensions. Here's what string theory says. String theory, as physicist Brian Greene explains it, this is off Tom Horn's website, explains his book and TV show, The Elegant Universe, basically says that all matter and fundamental forces can be thought of as vibrating strings of just, you know, roughly 10 to 33 centimeters of size, a billion times smaller than an atom. Most formulations of string theory inhabit a space of 11 dimensions. You know, the research that I read said 13, and some say 35 and 25. The reason we see only three dimensions of space and one of time is that the other dimensions are curled up in a submicroscopic size. So what's interesting is now the physics is coming out and more people are starting to talk about string theory, the multidimensional universe, and all these different things also. And then another article, this is another one, the same thing, it's basically saying, calling Tom Horn, Chris Putnam, Steve Quayle, Josh Peck, CERN Stargate discovers megaparticle that could hold key to other dimensions. So if you want to go to Tom Horn's website, you can read all about that, which I find fascinating. That now Tom's also talking about this. Of course, Tom and Steve and all these guys have been talking about it for years and years. Here's another one. A transhumanistic candidate for the U.S. president. He argues that abortion is your best assurance that your child will go to heaven. Abort the fetus in the womb before it has a chance to sin so it may go to heaven. This is from the Huffington Post. Transhuman. This is awful. I mean, I'm not laughing because it's funny. I'm laughing because it's just insanity. Now, the Huffington Post Transhumanist Party presidential candidate, yes, really, Zoltan Istvan, argues that spiritually speaking, abortionists are really doing their victims a favor by sending preborn babies straight to heaven. From a strictly biblical point of view, being born on earth is a test. All our actions will eventually be judged by an omnipotent God who will determine whether we go to heaven or hell, so it's better to kill the baby in the womb. Can you believe these guys are saying stuff like this now, Austin? Is this nuts?
That's sadistic, man, to even start talking that way. I mean, that's disgusting to me.
I mean, I don't even know how to actually even know how to do all this. And here's another one. Welcome to the Uncanny Valley. Humanoid robots become more and more human-like and lifelike. Meet Nadine. She's a robot designed to look like human as much as possible based on the creator, Nanyang Technological University in Singapore. Nadine was created to take on the role of a personal assistant or companion. This is for guys who can't get dates, I guess. Unlike other robots, this one has its own personality and can experience moods and emotions. Oh, good. You have a robot acting like she's having
a moody robot.
Like other robots, this one has its own personality and can experience moods and emotions depending on the topic of conversation. Pair this with a robot's soft-looking skin, hair, and human-like body, you have something quite shockingly lifelike. Nadine is designed to look much like Professor Thalmann as possible, as it looks much like what this designer, I don't know who Professor Thalmann is. Thalmann's team have been working on Nadine since 2011. Speaking about the process, she says, over the past 4 years, our team has been fostering cross-disciplinary research in special social robotics technologies involving engineering, computer science, linguistics, physiology, and other fields to transform a virtual human from within a computer into a physical being that is able to observe and interact with other humans. Wow. Is that nuts or what?
Artificial intelligence, man. They're going serious with it. The whole movie Terminator and all that, I don't think that was just a theory. I think there's a lot of stuff happening that we don't even know about.
Well, remember, these transhumanists, they want to merge people with machines.
Yep.
That's the whole goal. I mean, you know, it's awful. And because they don't want to have to deal with what happens when they die. So they're saying, hey, let's not do that. Let's transfer our consciousness into a machine, which is what their goal is, and which is their stated goal. This is what they want to do. In fact, I did another show on with Hagman on this one last month in December, and we talked about Singularity University and Google and how they're all working together now out in California and Silicon Valley to do all of this stuff. So it's pretty nuts, actually, when you start looking at it, you know, it's whatever. Oh, but here's another one. The transgender fad now is rapidly expanding in primary schools and basically as emerging as children copy friends. The number of primary schooled aged children, some as young as four, are beginning to transition their gender is rising rapidly in the United Kingdom. The popularity of the fad appears to be clustered with children copying others in the same schools. Up to 80 primary school-aged children a year are now seeking help towards potentially changing their gender. The chair of Mermaids, it's a society which lobbies for families who believe their children and teens are transgendered, has revealed, speaking to The Telegraph, Susie Green said, that in some cases, British children as young as four are already in the process of transitioning to another sex. You know, I'm going to stop here. I'm getting nauseous from this. Here's the thing about that. A parent who allows a four-year-old child to do stuff like this and allow them to change their sex at the age of four, to me, is probably the pinnacle of the worst parent you could possibly have. I mean, what are they thinking? I mean, what four-year-old child has ever made any sense to anybody when they try to carry on a conversation with them on any kind of topic? Am I right?
No, it's just ridiculous.
I don't even know what to say about this, except that this is just absolutely awful that this is actually going on and that the media is covering it and the government is allowing it and that medicine is doing it. And so it doesn't make any sense to me why they would even consider that any of this stuff is okay, because none of this stuff is okay. And the sad part about it is they just think that this stuff is just okay. I mean, just that they can just take these children and start doing surgery on them, I guess, at young ages and replace their genitalia. Let me tell you a story that happened one time, and this was one of the ones that was on either 60 Minutes or 2020 or whatever. I don't remember off, so it was years ago. You can look it up. I'm sure you guys can find it. I'm going to give you the gist of it. This young boy was born, right? And the doctor was doing the circumcision. And this is a true story, and messed up the circumcision and mangled his reproductive organ. And so the doctor decided that because this had happened, the little boy should just be go ahead and get fully castrated and become a little girl. Okay, this is not a joke. I'm not making this up. It really happened. And so they basically performed the surgery on this child, and it was raised as a little girl. And remember, it had a XY chromosome. Well, all of a sudden, this little girl doesn't want to wear dresses. She wants to play with trucks, four-wheel drive stuff, and guns. And finally, they've got to tell this little boy who they turned into a little girl against his will, that what they had done to it. And this entire child's life was ruined by this doctor who had made this unilateral decision to do this. And the sad part about this is that, you know, we're seeing this more and more and more now with the transgender movement. Now, pretty soon we're going to have hate speech against, this is what I'm talking about, will be hate speech for transgenders, okay? You can't say stuff like this. And so it's going to be sad. It really is. It's going to be sad that, you know, you won't be able to talk about this stuff openly anymore. But parents, don't be doing stuff like this to your children. I mean, don't be encouraging them. I mean, little boys are supposed to play with trucks.
And you say, well, that's you're being a sexist. No, I'm not. You know, maybe you think I am, but I'm not. I don't think I am. It's my opinion. You know, you can argue with somebody else who's, or agree with somebody who's in your opinion. But, you know, you've got to teach a little boy how to be a little boy. I mean, you've got to teach a little girl how to be a little girl, how to be a little lady, how to be a gentleman. I mean, this is a gender situation that we've had that's worked for millions of years, some people say, thousands of years, some Christians say. I don't know what the number is. Who knows? I don't care. It doesn't make any difference to me. I'm not getting into that debate. But the whole thing about it is that we've got this whole situation going on in which now we're trying to get rid of genders. We're trying to open up bathrooms to everybody. This is going to be a disaster. This is going to be an unmitigated disaster. We're going to destroy the very culture that we built by allowing this type of stuff to happen. What do you think, Austin?
Well, yeah, we've talked about it now. I mean, I talked about it, I think, on Wednesday, where the New York City Council now has basically mandated that anybody that offends or knowingly offends or, you know, basically tries to go out of their way to offend a transsexual now can be fined up to $250,000, and that if a man who says he's a girl wants to use the woman's bathroom, they have to allow him to do it, or it's a discriminatory act and the person can be fined. So that's exactly where we're headed. We're headed to this whole weird mixing melting pot of there's no right, there's no wrong, there's no male, there's no female, there's no God, there's no this, there's just everybody's free for all. That's what the globalists want. They want there to be no morals, no ethics, no religion, no culture, no nothing. Everybody just does whatever they want to do. And it's much easier when you get people like that to push more satanic, sadistic things on them, like the Mark of the Beast and so forth, because people have no background. They have no moral compass anymore, and it's really sad, but that's exactly where the entire world's headed.
Wow. All right, next story. Fort Morgan, Colorado, a meatpacking plant owned by Cargill has fired nearly 200 Muslim employees after they walked off the job and failed to show up for work for 3 days in dispute over the company's accommodations for their prayers. Cargill set up a reflection room in 2009 for their prayers, but now the Somalis contend that they were told they could not go home. They were told they could go home if they wanted to pray. So more than 2,000 are employed at the facility, and an estimated 600 immigrants are from Somalia. The 400 that have stayed there are still working there. I mean, so now we have to force the employers that we have to accommodate us for our religious beliefs. Otherwise, we can walk off the job and strike. This is, again, you can't have businesses that actually function like that. Doesn't work like that. Well, we love you guys. We appreciate you. Stay tuned for the next hour. I'll be back on with Dave Hodges. We'll be talking about some more of the trends for 2016 with Dave for the first hour. I believe Doug Hagman may be joining us. I'm not sure exactly who the lineup is, but we'll know in just a few moments. So stay tuned, and we'll be back tomorrow from 3 to 4 on Global Star Satellite for the next show, and we'll be doing a whole lot more nutritious stuff. We're going to start talking about burning body fat, burning weight, and we got a whole bunch of stuff on how you can burn and melt all this body fat you gained over the holidays at healthmasters.com. That's healthmasters.com. But I want to cover this information today. Tomorrow we'll start back on the nutrition information. God bless you. We love you guys. Austin, you want to add anything in closing?
No, you guys have a blessed night.
Thanks, guys.